This week's parsha is Vayakel Pekudei, and it's also Parsha HaChodesh. So there's a lot of leaning going on this Shabbos, so the last two parshios of Sefer Shemos, which are quite lengthy, and to speak about the finally the Mishkan being the all the materials being collected, and then everything being constructed, and finally the Mishkan being set up. And then, because it's also the Shabbos right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so we read the special reading in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, and also the laws of the Korban Pesach. So there's a lot going on. So I like to actually to connect everything together in the shir this evening. So let me begin actually with the Seder. The Seder's coming up in a couple of weeks, Pesach Seder. And I like to suggest something. I didn't see anyone else say this, and I'm sure someone else has come up with it. I didn't see anyone, at least the classic Mefarshim, make this suggestion. But I think it's something to consider. So during the Maggid section of the Seder, so after the Manishtana and after the four sons, so before we actually tell the formal story, when we use the four psukim from a Parshas Kisavo, psukim that the farmer would recite when he brought his first fruits, his bikurim, and those four psukim encapsulate the entire story of the Jewish people going down to Egypt and then the suffering and crying out to Hashem, and Hashem hearing the cries and taking us out. And the Baal Haggadah uses those psukim to tell the story. So before we get into that part, so that we have this paragraph of Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. This paragraph where the Baal Haggadah asked the question, when should the Seder be? You would have thought it should be on Rosh Chodesh. No, it's not Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Oh, that day, there's the day of the 14th of Nisan. That day, Yochel Yom, I would have thought during the daytime, right, when it's still light out. Oh, Tamalomar Bavorze. Bavorze Lomarti Al Pishoshish Matsum. Oh, the Seder is going to be at the night, right? The night of the 14th going into the 15th, we have the Korban, when we eat the Korban Pesach and the Matzah in Maror, that's when we have the Seder. So we have that paragraph within the Haggadah. I just purchased a few hours ago. Every year I try to get a new Haggadah. So this year I got two new Haggadahs. First new Haggadah I got when I was a few weeks ago in New York at Yeshiva University. So I was in for the day studying, learning with my son David. Did a father-son learning session. So it was the end of the Sfarim sale. So I saw one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Baruch Simon. So he recently put out a new Haggadah. So I purchased that Haggadah. And then the other day, I remember Jeffrey Goldenberg told me that his nephew just sponsored this new Haggadah, the Haggadah of Eli Melech Biederman, who's very popular today in Israel. He speaks in Yiddish, and his Divrei Torah and his stories, insights are very powerful. And you can find his Divrei Torah as well as his these lectures that he gives and these videos that they're always transliterated into English, always English subtitles, and they get they sent all over the world. And he always has incredible insights. So it's like God, it came out. I guess Dr. Goldberg's nephew has some connection to him. So I bought the Haggadah. So I just looked up, what does he say about this paragraph? And very powerfully, with this paragraph, he quotes the Ger Rebbe just after the Holocaust. And the Rebbe was trying to be awakened and to give hope to the Hasidim. You know, Ger today is huge, Ger Hasidus, but it was decimated at that during the Holocaust. And so he said, Yochel Meirosh Chodesh, right? You would think that when should we have a Seder? You would have thought that we should have a Seder only in good times, right? Rosh Chodesh, we say Hallel, we look forward to the new month, and you have the moon, it's beginning to reemerge and go strong. So you would have thought, at great times of celebration and joy, that's when we should have. That's when we should have the Seder. And then the Baal Haggadah says, then you would have thought mi'bod yom, only during the daylight, only when there's light and when there's hope and there's is what we can see and look forward to. So top of the bar. So what's the what does the Baal HaGadah say? No, it's b'shashis matzah maror. And even when you're eating the matzah and maror, you still have the seder. Right? Even when you're eating the maror, even in the moments of bitterness, right? He's talking to survivors who lost everything, and the matzah representing the lechem oni, the bread of affliction. We still have a seder, right? There's still hope that Jews, we never give up. We always look forward to better and brighter times. But even in the moments of darkness, we still have a seder. So that's a very beautiful way of explaining this paragraph. Okay, but now let me go back. Classically, how do we understand this paragraph? Again, I'm going to connect this paragraph to the end of to the parsha. So we're reading the Shabbos of a Yaakov Akudi, and again, we're reading the mitzvah also of HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, Parshas HaChodesh this week. So yeah, I believe I looked at at another Haggadah here, which has many of the Rishonim and the early Achronim, their insights into the Haggadah. So most of them assume, and the question is, why does the Baal Haggadah say that you would have thought that the Seder should have been on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Why in the world would I have thought that the Seder should be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? That makes no sense. The Torah says, when's the Seder? It's the night of the Exodus, right? The night the Jews left Egypt, and that's when they were instructed, even when they were still in Egypt. And Hashem told them to take the Korban Pesach to slaughter it. Then to eat it with the matzah and maror on the night of the 14th, going into the 14th, going into the 15th. So why in the world, I would have thought 2 weeks earlier, I should actually have the Seder. It's a strange thing. I don't know if you ever discussed it, your Seder. Like, what in the world is he talking about? You would have thought it should have been on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. No, I wouldn't. Torah says it should be on the night of the 15th. So I saw most of the Mefarshim say, well, maybe you would have thought that because there's an idea already from Rosh Chodesh Nisan that we begin to learn the laws of Pesach. That's what some suggest. We're already in Pesach mode. We're already studying about Pesach. So maybe on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the month of redemption, that's when you should begin the Seder. That's one possibility. The other possibility that I like to suggest, and again, I'll throw you a third one that I think is unique, is the one I just thought of today, connection to the Parsha. The other way I always understood this, and I think others do as well, is that what happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and again, this is what we'll read this Shabbos, a special reading of Parsha HaChodesh. This is when God said, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. This is when God gave the Jewish people the very first mitzvah. And the very first mitzvah he gave them was Rosh Chodesh. And this is such a significant event that if you go back to the very first Rashi on Chumash, Rashi has this famous question. He goes, well, the Torah should actually begin with this. He's bothered by why do we have all these stories with the creation of the world and the flood with Noah and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? If the Torah, which Rashi assumes is a book of mitzvos, in theory, it should begin with the very first mitzvah. And what's the very first mitzvah? The very first mitzvah given to the Jewish people is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh HaLechem, Rosh Chodeshim, when God told Moshe in Egypt 2 weeks before they left that this is, that observe the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And the Sfarno as a quote unquote famous insight. Why is Rosh Chodesh the very first mitzvah given to the Jewish people? Why aren't they given the mitzvah of Shabbos first? Why aren't they given the mitzvah of maybe don't kill, don't steal, one of the Ten Commandments? Why is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh the first mitzvah that's given to the Jewish people? So the Sfarno says is because what makes a person free? Makes a person free is that you can control your own time. That you can that when you're a slave, you don't your day is you're beholden to someone else, right? You can't decide when and where what you're going to do. But Hashem was empowering the Jewish people by giving them Rosh Chodesh, because now the day is yours, time is yours. Now, and God challenges us, what to do with our days. Are we going to make the most of it? Are we going to develop a relationship with Hashem? So Rosh Chodesh becomes the very first mitzvah for the Jewish people. So perhaps that's what the Baal HaGadah is saying. Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. When were the Jewish people free? So maybe we physically didn't leave Egypt until 2 weeks later, but perhaps we really became free when we now developed a relationship with Hashem, when we were now given a mitzvah, right? That now we were had this connection to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, that now we had what to live for, because now we had this relationship with God. And now we accepted upon ourselves to have a life and of purpose and of meaning as individuals and as a nation. That's when freedom began. Therefore, that's when we should really celebrate the Seder. And I think that perhaps is what I've shared this in the past at my Seder, that's what the Baal Haggadah is suggesting. And it's one of the unique things and interesting things about the whole Exodus, is we left the servitude of Egypt in order to become servants of God, right? But that's our freedom. Our freedom is that we chose that relationship with God, and that true freedom is not just I do whatever I want, but true freedom is that I live a life of purpose and of godly purpose, and I live a life of fulfilling the divine will. And in fact, it's interesting that what's the greatest label that we can be given as Jews? So perhaps it's what God calls Moshe just moments before he passes away. How does God refer to Moshe? And this appears at the very end of the Torah, and also appears once again at the very beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. And Moshe is called, what's his label? He's the Eved Hashem, right? He's still a servant, but he's not a servant to Paro. He's a servant to Hashem. That's freedom. Right, we have a purpose, we have a connection to the divine, we're in this world to fulfill something which is not just in the moment, but it's eternal, and it all begins on Rosh Chodesh. It all began with that very first mitzvah. That again, we could have been set free, and we could have then gone to retire to Florida. We could have then gone play golf for the rest of our lives, but no, the freedom was that we had a relationship with Hashem. Again, that all begins on Rosh Chodesh. That from that first mitzvah was given the first day of Nisan, that mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, that we now have that relationship. Now we're free. And that's perhaps what the Baal Haggadah is saying. You might have thought that that's when the Seder should begin. Now, of course, we don't have the Seder then. We push off the Seder until 2 weeks later, until we actually physically left. But whenever you learn the Gemara often will ask, what's the Havamina? Sometimes the question is, you have a question, you have a Havamina Maskana. It's like, I would have thought, and the Maskana, no, but I do it this way instead. So sometimes the Havamina is really good, like this one. Sometimes the question is such a good question. So here, the Yachar Rosh Chodesh makes a lot of sense now. And it makes a lot of sense. Now, again, why don't you have the Seder then? Okay, so now you got to figure out why we're doing it 2 weeks later. But nonetheless, again, there's a good reason that you would have thought to have to celebrate the Seder on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I don't want to get you too nervous. Rosh Chodesh Nisan's in a week. So the good news is we still have 3 weeks for the Seder. So we don't follow this Havamina, the initial thought. But the initial thought that makes sense. But now, let me give you one other possibility that I thought of today. That was based upon reading the parshas of this week. So as I mentioned when we started, so again, Vayakal Pekudei is the actual putting into action the commands of Terumah Tetzaveh, beginning of Kisisa, is the instructions to build the Mishkan. And now Vayakal Pekudei is the actual, okay, now the Jewish people go out. They collect all the items. They donate all the items, and Bezalel and the whole crew, they work and they to put everything together. And it goes through many, many details, and it describes how every vessel was made, and how the Mishkan was made, and everything is put together. When was the Mishkan finally set up? When was it finally now ready to use? So the Torah tells us explicitly when that happens. This is the very end of Sefer Shemos, and it's in Parshas Pekudei, in beginning of Shishi. When we read it, the Shabbos will be in Shvi, because again, it's a double Parsha, so the Aliyahs are a lot longer. And it's in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Get a load of this. Vayhi b'chodesh harishon. It was in the first month. B'shana shenit. The second year. So it's been a year since the Jews have left Egypt. A lot has happened, right? They left Egypt, right? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they're given the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. On the 14th of Nisan, on the 10th of Nisan, they take the lamb, they tie it to the bed. On the 14th, they slaughter the Korban Pesach. They put the blood on the doorpost. They have their Seder, and they leave on the 15th. And then they go onto the desert. In the desert, they lack water, and they lack food. And then there's the man eventually comes, and there's a war with Amalek. Yisro shows up, this Kriyas Yamsuf, and Yisro shows up, and eventually they're given the Torah. And then, unfortunately, there's the whole Chet Egel we read about last week. And then finally, Yom Kippur, that's when they're forgiven. That's when Moshe gives the instructions to build the Mishkan. So it's going on this number of months. This whole story is unfolding. Finally, when is the Mishkan set up? So we're told it's now the second year. It's a year later. It's in the first month. And we know the first month in the Torah does not refer to Tishrei, but refers to Nisan. Nisan is the Torah counts the months. It's Nisan's the first month. Be'echad lachodesh, on the first day of the first month, so Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan is set up. And that, Rashi and Mefarshim point out, when you get to Parsha Shmini, in a few weeks, the third Parsha in Vayikra, Vayibayim HaShmini, where it talks about the inauguration of the Mishkan, it's the eighth day of this of the process of the setting up the Mishkan. Rashi tells us from Chazal, that for the last 7 days of the month of Adar, Moshe is setting it up. He's putting it down. Some suggest he's showing the Levim how it all is all going to work. But on the eighth day, which is the first day, as it says here, of Nisan, finally it's permanently set up and it's ready to go. Not only is it ready to go, but Hashem accepts it, because we're told at the very very end of the parasha, including the end of Sefer Shemos, we're told the following. This is now the Mafta reading. Vayichas Hanan es ol moed. The cloud enveloped the tent of meeting. Uchvod Hashem, and the glory of God, maleas haMishkan. It filled the Mishkan. Right, the glory of God filled the Mishkan. And the last pasuk is Ki Hanan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam Ishti Alo Laila Nekol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem. God is now surrounding. He's now entering. He's entered the Mishkan. That's how Sefer Shemos concludes. When does this happen? This happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the Ramban, he alludes to this in his commentary right here, but he tells you to look back at it, at his introduction to Sefer Shemos. The Ramban says, what is Sefer Shemos all about? So he tells us the following, that the book of Bereishis is all about how we all started. It's about our story. It's about the Avos. Chiddush HaOlam, Yetziras Kol Noter, is how all the world was created. And Mikare HaAvos, Shem Ke'inyan, Yetziras Lazaram. It's all how the Jewish people came to be. That's Sefer Bereishis. But after we conclude Bereishis, then we need to see about how the nation of the Jewish people developed and came to be. And he says, and so it talks about the original Gullus, the original exile, right? The exile being in Egypt, and then how the Geula we met, and how we were redeemed from Egypt. And then he says, but when did the redemption? Now here's the key part: when were we finally redeemed? When was the ultimate redemption? So again, you would think the redemption is when we left Egypt, or when, you know, we crossed the sea and the Egyptians were killed. It says the Ramban, "Bnei HaGalus einena nishlam." The exile, the exile of Egypt, did not really conclude. Ayom shuvam el mekomam vel malas avosam yeshuvu, until the day the people returned to their place and returned to their stature of their forefathers. I might think that he's about to say it's when they return to Israel after the 40 years in the desert. But look what he says. U'kishiyatsu mimitzrayim, but when they left Egypt, afal pishiyatsu mibeis avadim, even though they left the house of bondage, yechashvu golim. They were still considered to be exiles. They were still considered to be exiles. Ki hayu be'eretz lo'lehem, because they were not in their land. Nevuchim ba'midbar, and they were wandering in the desert. Ukishabo el har Sinai, but when they came to Mount Sinai, v'asu ha'mishkan, and they created the Mishkan, v'shava Kadosh Baruch Hu, and God returned and God entered that Mishkan, v'shra shchinaso b'neihem, and his presence now dwelled among them. When did that happen? When is that described? That's the last few psukim in our parsha, Pekudei. Right, we just read it a moment ago. Az shavu el malas avosam. That's when the Jewish people returned to the eminence of their forefathers. It was at that moment, after they received the Torah, constructed the Mishkan, and God entered the Mishkan, then they were back to where they were at the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Afum baby said that the counsel of God was over their tents. Pasuk from Iyov. Merkava, and now they were connected to the divine chariot, the chariot that's described in Yeshayahu and Yechezkel, that God is now dwelling among them. But Oz Nachshu Geulim, at that moment they were then truly redeemed. That's why how does Sefer show Shemos end? It ends, right? Nishlam Sefer, the Sefer ends with the completion of the subject of the Mishkan and with the glory of God, the Kvod Hashem, Maleoto, filling it always. And therefore, I would like to suggest, again, it could be someone else has said this before me, but here's my suggestion. What's the Balakada saying? You would have thought that the Seder should be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Not that he's referring to Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, that was the first mitzvah given to them, and therefore that's when we have our freedom. But the Rosh Chodesh of the second year, right? It's Aleph Nisan of the second year when the Mishkan was now constructed. And the glory of God is described explicitly in our parsha and in our final parsha Pekudei, as it describes that God's glory entered. That's when we were redeemed. That's when everything returned to the glory days. And we weren't yet in Israel at this point, but now we were ready. Right now we just had to, the rest of our history just had to unfold. But at this point, again, this is all before the sin of the spies. So this at this point. After the sin of the golden calf, we're back on track. We've received the Torah. We've created this abode for God in this world that God now dwells among us. And at this point, now Geula is at hand. Now there's redemption. In fact, you could argue that this is the final express. Right, we have the four expressions of redemption. V'lakachti. So v'lakachti, I took you to me, La'am, as a nation. How do we know that God accepted us? It's when the glory of God filled the Mishkan, symbolizing that now he was that we were now connected to him. Still have Hevesi, still have going into the land, but at this point we are now a nation and now we were redeemed. That's what the Balakada says. I would have thought that that's when the Seder should be. Again, it's another shir why it is on the night, why we do it on the 14th going into the 15th. Why it's actually on the night of that we left Egypt, but the Havamina, the thought of Yachamar Shkodesh, again, I'm suggesting is this connection, construction of the and the final completion of the building of the Mishkan, which took place also on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, you're welcome to share that your Seder this year. See if people accept it. All right, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.